Welcome back to Real Talk, Real Agents, episode 3. Would you fire yourself? In this episode, we're going to take a look at what you're actually doing in your business to see if it's what is working or not working.
I love a little self-reflection because I think we all need to do this occasionally. And this topic has made me think,
would I fire myself?
And some days it's probably a yes. Nobody in real estate is going to tell you the real stuff.
So we will.
We're going to talk about all the stuff that nobody posts about.
But everybody needs to hear.
We've been in this industry long enough to know what works.
And long enough to know what doesn't.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Mackenzie. And this is Real Talk, Real Agents.
If you're a real estate agent that is so tired of the fake it till you make it energy, this is your show.
We are two agents who are still in it every single day, and we are not coaching from the sidelines. We are in the trenches with you.
No filters and no fluff.
All right. Real talk starts right now.
So, but it is funny. This started our original video vlog or whatever was Wind Down Wednesday.
Yes.
And we would always have a glass of something and talk about a topic. So it felt kind of real to bring it on back, right? Old school.
It did feel real to bring it on back. And part of this later in the show, we'll tell you why we felt like we maybe needed a little bubbly today.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
This week,
in particular,
it's been a week.
It has been.
So today's topic, which I think we'll do a little bit of a deeper dive in on maybe all the attributes that I think an employer would really be looking for an employee. And then having those moments of would I hire me and am I doing all the things that I need to do daily to be successful in this business?
Well, and I think you just hit on a word there, an employer and an employee. And that is what is can be very difficult as an independent contractor slash real estate agent, because you are your employer and you are the employee at the same time.
And that's so super hard because most people have come from an industry where they've had a manager or they've had somebody, right? Some boss that tells them exactly what to do. And I think we find that sometimes agents get in, they're like, I mean, I'm happy to do whatever I need to do, but I just don't even know where to start, right? Correct. They don't have that framework at all.
Or am I starting in the right things? Right. And is that really going to produce business?
And everybody's got ideas.
No shortage of ideas, AKA our podcast.
Exactly.
And so I think, it's been really cool to kind of, I think as we were researching for this show, we looked at each other and like, Pam probably would have fired me yesterday because I don't know that I, you know.
So it'll be fun, I think, to kind of go through some of those attributes that we think are would be helpful as an employer. And see if we're checking some boxes there.
You're not going to be grading me, are you?
I'm not.
This is not like a
self-assessment.
Okay, this is not a secret like employee review, is it?
Okay,
just want to make sure. So our weekly vibe check. Share with our listeners and our viewers. How's your week been?
Oh my God!
And for the record, sorry, this is only a Tuesday,
right? And I swear, like, if you do not follow us on YouTube, this is a visual, which is terrible. So. This is an example of moving way too fast and trying to do too much with your day and not slowing the F down and actually proofreading what you're doing. So we have an agent. She's doing a great job. I mean, she's amazing. But she was doing an event at her school and she said, can we get some swag or something that has the logo on it? I was like, abso-freaking-lutely, let's do it.
So she's sponsoring the event. And so we wanted to add something to it just to kind of a little take home and take away.
I can't even do this shit justice here. But this was supposed to be like a notepad, like an actual usable notepad. It feels like it should be in a dollhouse. But wait, there's more. It gets even better.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
So I sent the logo, right? It should be so simple to just drag a logo on top of the white. Y'all, this shit is not even spelled right.
This is realty, right? How do they spell realty?
I don't have my glasses on, but I think they even messed up capital. I mean, this is bad. So please help. I don't know what to do with these. That's my week.
We're going to at least recycle it. We do like the environment.
Okay.
So that was hysterical. So I was here when those were shipped to the office, and the agent here who was going to use them, I opened it up. I'm like, oh boy. I was like, did you guys talk about this? And she's like, Mackenzie, I can't use that. I'm like, of course you can't use it. It's fine. We'll figure it out, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my...
Yeah, how was your week?
I'm going to take a sip. Mm-hmm. So my weekly vibe check is that everyone's roof was trying to literally cave in on every transaction that I was representing the buy side and or the sell side. For whatever reason, a roof has become a real hot topic in the state of North Carolina during inspections.
It's so wild though, too, though. Like you'll get on a run where it's like every house, you're like, of course it's the roof.
Yes. So to the point where I go on a listing appointment and my first question is, hi, how old's your roof? Because I might not take this listing.
If it's over 10 years, we ain't doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Or we might need to add that into, but it's just, now I will say the game changer has been working with an agent on the other side. So whether I've been the buyer agent or the listing agent, it has made a world of difference when the agent on the other side is communicative, say that three times fast, communicates, understands. We both can see that we're trying to advocate for our client at the same time, and it can come across, you know, it could come across adversarial, but man, it has just been a doozy of a week when it has to do with someone's roof.
So but it is worth kind of pointing out some of the details here.
Fair enough.
Because I think, to your point, so many times we feel like we've got to lock heads, like we're negotiating, we have tense moments. I mean, I had one last week that I shared that I was really upset on the phone with another agent. But he was a solid agent because he had already done the work. He had gotten a roof estimate that was not a $50,000 roof estimate. Like he got one that was super reasonable, right? And your people ended up being thrilled. And then his seller got what they wanted too. Because everybody was reasonable.
Absolutely. I wasn't expecting. So the great story for this is that we actually got a new roof put on the house. Yeah. So I was representing the buyer and I set expectations. I wasn't expecting a new roof, but we knew things were going to need to be taken care of. We did know that this could be an insurance issue, but we did all that back. I called my insurance guy that we use. And I just said, you know, what are some things that my buyers need to look out for? And to your point, having the information and just saying, these are the quotes I came up with. If you can figure out something different, you let me know. But this is going to come up with any buyer. This isn't my buyers. And so they saw that and they got a new roof.
And her people were thrilled.
So thrilled. Yeah. And it was really great. Yeah. On the list side, though, I have an agent who gives me, see, we need a new roof with no reasons. Just it's old. Yeah. It's functioning as intended.
Or they go, oh, we want $30,000. And you're like,
correct.
I'm sorry.
I just actually did an estimate for another buyer for the same size house and it came to 12. So tell me where the 30 is coming. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. The lesson here is just do your due diligence on either side for your client because you're actually probably going to come out better if you do a little bit more work on the back end.
Absolutely.
Right?
You already have a solution in place.
Correct. Yeah. So that was my week, but my buyers were thrilled. I'm so excited. First time home buyers. Oh, they're just so yummy and just so excited for them that they can have one less thing that they feel like they would have to worry about as they first moved in. But yeah, these roofs, a big deal. Yeah,
these repairs right now in general.
Big deal. They are. Okay. So Pam, this week's question, are you ready for it?
Ready.
It's a little sense of honesty. Kind of goes with the theme of the podcast today.
Okay.
What is one thing our agents would assume that you're consistent with, but you're really not?
So, I mean, we talk a lot about prospecting on a team because I think when you're at that point in your career, when you're first getting started, especially, right, you're out there, you're doing cold calls and you're doing a lot of that. And I think they may still think that I am sitting at my house doing cold calls consistently. And I think they may think that we do that when we are trying to find agents for the team too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, fortunately for my business, I'm very much referral based now. I'm very thankful for that. And that's a whole nother plan to keep and stay in front of people. But we've been very fortunate not to have to cold call agents to just chat about the team and that. And part of the podcast, right, is just to try to attract people that are similar in nature and maybe we can help. And so that's been our path. It has not been cold calling, but I do think they may just think that I'm just sitting there pounding the phones.
Yeah, you're not.
No.
So the same question for me?
Yes, same question.
Yes.
I was thinking about my next sip of my drink. Sorry. What's the same question for you? What do you think they think you do consistently?
Well, I think they think that I can consistently price a home perfectly every single time.
Yeah.
So we do every week, we do listening strategy. I mean, I love it. Or it just comes naturally doing that. I have research. I do research the market all of the time so that I do know to help the agents in the best possible way. But sometimes, I mean, you saw me in the group chat last week. I have a listing coming up. It is like a 1920s home and there's like no comps. And so I reached out to the group chat and said, hey, I need help. And I think they were all so quiet because they're like, Mackenzie wants help with, I'm not going to help her. But I was like, really, what is your opinion on this?
That's important for our sellers to know too. Like there is not a magic wand or some computer system that we can put an address in and it just zero gives us perfectly a number. Like there's so much art to it, you know, I mean, truly. And so, yeah, for our agents to kind of understand, like sometimes they're just hard and sometimes you need a gut check on it as well. And I'm led by my gut just as much as I am the numbers on the paper.
And that's hard because that's very subjective, but that's the truth. So I'm not scouring over numbers every single day and I don't know the perfect number every single day. So I think they thank you for that because it's a lot of pressure sometimes.
It is a lot of pressure.
Okay.
So yeah, the deep dive, I was driving down the road and was just thinking like, as we were interviewing agents, like what qualities that we're looking for in really great agents and maybe the qualities that folks have that make them just innately a little bit more successful. Cause obviously that's who we're looking for, right?
Correct.
So I went on Indeed and said, hey, what are the top 10 qualities that an employer is looking for their next employee. And it had a very interesting list.
So let's read the list.
Yeah.
All the way through.
We won't go through all 10.
No. But,
so the first one was dependability. Yes. flexibility, but maybe not how most people think about flexibility. Positive attitude, communication skills, problem solving, critical thinking, emotional intelligence, discipline, motivation, and leadership.
So I think you were driving and you were talking about these and you called me.
Yeah.
And then you went somewhere and you said, oh my gosh, listen to these 10. And then we both, I think at the same time had the aha moment, like, well, this is what we're looking for in an agent, right?
100%. And I would say every one of those, we could probably do a full podcast on each of those topics.
However, we're not going to do that today.
We're not going to kill you with that.
Right. So Pam, what are a top, I don't know, two or three, when we were really looking at those for different reasons that we, as we've been interviewing, as our team is growing, as we're talking to other agents in the community, just colleagues and friends that we have, what's one that really stood out to you as a something that we're looking for, or maybe you're looking for now a little bit differently when we talk to agents?
So the one that jumped out to me, only because we hear it a lot in interviews, and I think about it in a very different way, is flexibility.
Okay, so right now people have turned us off, somebody, because they're like, what do you mean flexibility? Everybody thinks that they want to be in real estate because of their flexible schedule, and we know it's not flexible, so... Please explain that.
So for me, flexibility is the ability to think on your feet and to kind of go with the flow and to not be so stuck on everything being perfect all the time and not being able to take some chance. Like just observing some of our agents sometimes and talking, there'll be a group of agents that get like really hung up on what I perceive are kind of some small details, right? But it will prevent inaction because they want it this way and they want it perfect and they're not going to do it unless it is this. So when I hear flexibility, I think of somebody willing to kind of mold themselves to the situation, again, quick on their feet to kind of handle that situation maybe in a different way. So I guess I have a different impression of it.
I'm just giggling because... I'm just giggling.
We've been together all day.
So that's not why I'm giggling. I'm giggling because I'm just thinking of instances just, you know, at team meetings or even just, you know, in the last couple of days with conversations. It's the flexibility of having to want to know all of the answers and then not making that phone call, right? Or not. So, well, if I, you know, because I think you and I, our default is just call the agent or just call your client and let's just see what does their voice sound like? Are they really as upset as we think they are? Let's just get it all on the table. That's just kind of our default when things get confusing, right? Because text we know can get misconstrued. Emails can feel misconstrued. So let's just, and then those deer in the headlights you see of agents are like, well, but what if they say this? Yeah. And, well, what do I say? And what if, well, we don't know until you call them.
Yeah. You just be a regular person, have a conversation.
And when you ask them a question, their answer will then lead you to the next question that you should be asking. But we've created all of this. I mean, listen, and I have completely done the same thing.
Me too.
And I'm like, but usually when I call, even if it's an uncomfortable conversation, it goes much better than I thought that it would have not just sent an email, then fretted and when are they going to respond? Why haven't they responded? Or if you send a text, correct.
What that's going to be like.
Yeah. So that flexibility of even if it's uncomfortable, but you're right, it's that flow and then it not just derailing you for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Or the week.
Yeah. I thought that was a good one.
And I feel like we don't talk about flexibility in that way in real estate. And we're going to give it a new connotation in our industry, Pamela.
I think it's more positive.
I do too.
Then when you tell me you want a flexible schedule, that's usually a death nail for me. But anyway.
I'm pretty sure we're not hiring that agent, right?
Sorry.
okay. Then, so yeah, another one.
Well, what did you think? Was there one that stood out to you?
One that stood out to me. Yes. I did remember them. So just give me a second here. Mm-hmm. Well, a discipline.
Oh yeah.
Just because this is what a lot of my role is, you know, with agents on our team. And right now we're doing something called the 55 Hard Challenge, right? And we're halfway through the challenge. They got to decide to do it. They weren't voluntold. They got to say that they want to be this challenge. It's called 55 Hard for a reason. Yeah, and it's four daily activities that they need to do consistently, 5 of the 7 days a week. And we're in the middle of it. And so we are also doing it. We might be doing different activities, but we're also doing it with them because we think that's important as well. You know, we feel you, we're in the trenches with you, that sort of thing. And I knew that my motivation was waning. I had 2 days last week in the challenge. I was like, yep. I was very consistent with doing 3 out of the 4 activities, but I just couldn't get that fourth one done. Either I ran out of time, I didn't feel like it, all of the excuses and reasons that we all do to ourselves at any time, right? And we do it that way. And so if I'm feeling that way, I'm pretty sure the other agents are feeling that way. So on our call on Monday morning in our check, and I was like, all right, motivation's done. We were motivated at the beginning. You guys either did it because you thought you would look good for Pam and I, which we told you don't excited. Do it for us. You're excited. We're doing it. We're getting, and now you're like, this is a hard one. Is this challenge going to be over?
Yeah, it's done.
Correct. So this is where your discipline comes in. And because your motivation's gone, so the only thing that's going to get you to continue this challenge is the discipline. Mm-hmm. The discipline comes from that calendar and from setting intentional time, because we do all have enough hours in the day. It's just, what are we doing in those hours, right?
Yeah, I think we find that it's very typical. And part of it, I think, is personality type, right? Mm-hmm. So I think someone that's very, very much a social butterfly, likes to talk to people, is very extroverted, tends to be a little ADHD. I mean, let's be honest, right?
Yes.
What's positive about that personality can also make it very challenging to sit down and really time block and really use time effectively. And so that is where the calendars and that is where that discipline comes in. Because sometimes when we do like checks of like, how many calls did you actually make? You know, we hear the, I'm making calls and, you know, I didn't really make any connections. Like, well, how many dials did you make? And you really realize it's maybe 10. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, damn, like that's not a lot of at-bats, mm-hmm. right? To really see your business move forward. And it's not just our agents. It's just our industry in general, I think, has this vision that it should just be easy and it should just come to me. And that mm-hmm. that's just literally not the case.
It's not. And it's that discipline of just understanding that, you know, you are going to, if you're disciplined and more at bats mm-hmm. and things don't go right, that you still have more at bats and you still have more opportunities and more choices, you know, in your business. It's just, I don't know, blocking that calendar and just really staying focused on that. It is very hard.
If you can do that, mm-hmm. man, this business can be so incredibly fruitful.
Absolutely.
It doesn't even take a lot of time, you know, just put some really focused time.
The last thing I'll say that an agent on our team, and I'm going to totally say this wrong, but it really resonated with the rest of the group that he played soccer mm-hmm. in college, and his coach said to him once that we can't all give 100% every day. But if you wake up today and you can give only 30%, give 100% to that 30%. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
love that.
It was like a mic drop moment. And you saw first of all, I loved that it was somebody else bringing that to the group, yeah. right? But I was like, you're right. So yeah. that was just, because I think it's also that all or nothing. If I don't do the first thing on my calendar, then everything's thrown off for the
and
rest of the week.
I didn't do something 100% perfect today, so I suck, and I'm just not even going to try it tomorrow.
Correct.
So I do love that.
So discipline. So that one really stood out to me, even though I couldn't remember it for a minute.
Well, you got a lot going on.
All right. So like of those 10, what was the other one that we really thought was super important? Because I think it encompassed some other ones.
It did. So mm-hmm. emotional intelligence is one that when we talked earlier, we circled. And it does really kind of flow into that problem solving and critical thinking there, too. If you have enough self-awareness about who you are, what your style is, like it really, I think, helps you develop plans on how to connect with people and problem solve and all of that. I say it all the time. Self-awareness is lacking for people in general. And mm-hmm. I think a lot in this industry, but boy, if you can have some type of self-awareness, it's amazing how impactful it can be on your business and your day to day, right?
Yes. And how other people's levels of emotional intelligence can affect you or, you know, that has helped me tremendously. If I'm working with somebody who's the complete opposite of maybe my personality, mm-hmm. my emotional intelligence, I really have to work on that because I know this trigger, I'm going to say, not that my clients trigger me, but just, you know, there's just some things that's just, if
some you can, are harder to deal with than others.
Right. And that for me, it can just be like shut down mode. Yeah. Right. And so it's been a really great thing to try to be very self-aware as I'm having conversations with clients, with agents who maybe come at things differently or just, you know, it's really helped with that part of it. And I think too, talking to agents when it's just, if something goes bad, we automatically assume, well, the agent's this, or they're not doing this, or I'm like, well, let's look at it from their lens, or we have no idea really what's going on or what they're bringing to the table in this conversation.
Yeah. I think really, I mean, all 10 of those qualities are really important, mm-hmm. but those three, if you can really dial it in, think about, if you were the CEO of your company and you showed up and did your calendar every single day, right? And you did the work, you were disciplined in that work. And then you were self-aware enough when you're having conversations with people to know where they are, how you can help them, like your conversion rates would go higher. So I think about those three and the results that potentially you would have from just focusing on those. Like I'd be blessed to have, you know, that type of agent on the team.
They're hired.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Absolutely. So I do geek out at numbers. I know,
she does.
I know that I said that the agent's saying that I'm always looking and knowing the right price for a home, but I do love numbers. I love education of that. And so I think when sales start to decrease a little bit, people start talking about the interest rates, you know, there's like a misconception of who's buying and who's selling and what price points buying and selling. And there's been an increase in our luxury market here and the capital over the last 2 months. And so it makes about 10% of the sales. When I say luxury in our market, it's about 850,000 plus. I would say we have, you know, some $3-5 million houses, but really we're probably between that sweet spot of 850 and 2.5 million, mm-hmm. right? It used to be, and 850 now is not what 850 even was 5 years ago. So I'd probably say even more.
A house is not what it used to be anymore.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But for this report that I look at, he lumps in that 850 mm-hmm. in there. So it was just really interesting to see that the luxury market is still holding really, really tight. And I just, while I was having lunch, I was scrolling on Facebook. Sorry, that wasn't probably a very good thing to be doing. Just kidding. But somebody was reading with new construction. He said the same thing that in new construction right now that the 300,000-400,000 are selling because they have so many incentives and great for first-time home buyers. The luxury market's selling, but we have so many $500,000-800,000 right now that there are so many choices for buyers and they are being a little bit more choosier in there. So they're having to compete mm-hmm. and that those price points of new construction, they're having to really lower their prices. So he's saying, if you are a buyer in that 500,000-700,000, there are some deals to be had.
What about resale?
That's so subjective to the submarket small, you know, mm-hmm. so like right now we've got agents in Cary, North Carolina, like their listings and their buyers are, you know, it's multiple offers. Yeah. If you're a little bit further out from Raleigh, they can be sitting a little bit longer, but in our market right here in Cary, where our office is, multiple offers. We had, I think, 4 different agents writing offers this weekend, all in multiple offer situation, 2+ offers. And they all won, I'd like to say, those offers. Oh, no. But that was in Cary.
Yeah.
So Raleigh, too, for sure. But some of the more in the outskirts, it's not happening as much unless it's a unicorn property, yeah, for sure. So anything, what about for the capital? The coast, Pam.
Yeah, I feel like there's some similarities there. Mm-hmm. I think we've got some tired beach houses. I think the ones that have not been updated for a really long time, that are probably overpriced, those are really just, they're sitting, there's mm-hmm. some folks that don't necessarily need a oceanfront beach house for $3 million. So, we are seeing some negative pressure on prices there. Mm-hmm. Inventory, it has increased, and I would agree mm-hmm. with you in that. I was working with some folks this past weekend, and they've been really slow in some ways because they're like, well, we'll just go out Monday and look at another batch of houses because they can, because mm-hmm. there's been a lot. And then there's some that have been sitting on the market for 200 days and 180 days. But then this weekend was funny. Of course, we were getting ready to make an offer on one, and it went under contract. Mm-hmm. So it's like spring market is here. And so what was unique about that one in particular, which I think we're seeing, all the comps I could pull were around 450 to 459. Mm-hmm. This house was already priced at 425. Mm. So their thought to me was like, why are they not reducing the price? Like, they were waiting for that again. I was like, they're already really below all the comps. So I don't blame them. At this point, they're thinking we just need to be patient. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we submitted an offer and another offer comes in at the same time because the market recognized this one is an anomaly. It's priced lower than what it should be. We won that one as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, the market's really changing right now. Like, I feel like you've got to do some deep dives in the micro markets, and the price points really matter too.
All right, good. Question number one.
Okay.
What is one daily habit every top producing agent does or has?
It's all about conversations. I think every top agent knows that they have got to talk to people about real estate every single day. So I ride around with my little trusty clipboard. If you know me, you know it. And I have a list of people that I'm kind of working or we are having conversations. And so when I'm in the car and I've got a moment, I look at my trusty clipboard and it tells me who I need to call. And so as I'm driving, I'm making phone calls. So that's my prospecting. It's a little bit different.
So we did not look at these together, by the way. And so I have follow-up every single day. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Top producing agent. They're top producing because they always have somebody in their pipeline. Active under contract close. Active under contract close. Because they're following up every single day, yeah, in their CRM.
Love it. Or like that whatever. We're on the same page.
They don't believe us, but we did not look at these. I know. I'm having trouble reading my handwriting at the moment. Sorry about that. What would instantly improve most agents' business right now?
So we've already talked about this some today, but again, it's time blocking. I know we're all busy. We're all parents. We're all husbands, wives, business owners. Everybody, I think right now is working at such a crazy pace, right? But there's not a single person that is so busy that they can't take the time to block out some time to really connect and talk to people. Mm-hmm. If you did only one thing a day, is block out 2 hours a day and just focus it solely on making phone calls and talking to people, you'd have a big business.
Mm-hmm. Love it. That's something a little bit differently. I think I was thinking it's more so, it's similar, but tracking the conversations that you're mm-hmm. having and being uber specific on those conversations you're having, writing really specific notes, because that's how you know how to pick up the next time. So it's not just, hey, I'm checking in, or hey, I'm following up.
Or just writing a note in the CRM.
Correct.
Amazing.
That's a novel idea, Pamela. Nice. Actually put notes in your CRM so you go back
crazy
to them.
Crazy stuff.
Here. I mean, Lord have mercy. Who would think? I don't know, right? I like this question. What do you think agents think matters but really doesn't in their business?
Ooh, so
I knew you'd like this one.
Yeah. I think they think the fancy brochures and the fancy printed stuff.
I wrote that down because I knew that's what she was going to say.
I mean, I literally love marketing. I really, really, honest to God, do. But I think there's a place for that, right? I think once you've established yourself, then go put the billboard up. But when you're brand new, nobody knows who you are. They don't care. So again, I think they focus on the pretty shiny, the expensive things, and ultimately at the end of the business, that it makes a difference down the road, but not for most agents.
And I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you call that? That agents do when they're worrying?
Oh, it's creative avoidance.
There you go. I knew it. Creative avoidance. Can you tell that she was my mentor when I started out in this business back in the day?
I see you on Canva. I know how much time and energy and effort y'all are building on things that literally are not going to move your business forward.
No, but let's be real. You know, because we were of a different generation maybe of some of the agents. So correct. I think that we're assuming it takes them as long in Canva as it does us.
Oh my God. Touche.
Okay. They're still taking too much time in there, yeah. But I'm just...
It's a dark hole.
It's a very dark hole that I try not to ever be a part of.
But I mean, I literally don't think I've ever won a listing based on a brochure. I think I lost one maybe on not having enough printed material. I'll fall on the sword for that one. It was a luxury one. It was a thing. But
she's still bitter.
I'm still bitter, but I literally have redesigned all of our brochures because of that experience.
I was going to say, I'm so glad you're honest.
Super competitive.
She came home from that and she called me and all pissed. Of a sudden we have a marketing department and we have all new marketing flyers and we're ready to go. Just for
I
the
don't
record.
Like to lose. But okay. I mean, all the other ones, right, mm-hmm. have been just due to connections and conversations and all those things.
So mine was, I knew yours was going to be the branding and the perfect thing, just again, from conversations. And mine was because I was this agent, thought that I had to be perfect and know everything before I could have the conversation. I couldn't go on a listing appointment until I knew exactly what to say. And so that analysis paralysis, so I can remember, and you just never learned how to do it until you did it. And I sucked on my first one, probably my second and third. But again, that's how I got better, because I knew I did not like feeling that way. Yeah. Like, you didn't like to lose. I did not like to be embarrassed. I did not like to not know an answer. Yeah. That comes that research part of me. And so that was the feeling that motivated me more than anything, going, yep, I'm not walking back into that house feeling that way next time.
Yeah.
So
love it.
Okay. Pam, what is your non-negotiable in your schedule?
It's my morning time. Like, mm-hmm. I think the older that I've gotten, the morning really is super important to me. And it's not just the calls. It's the getting myself right and ready for the day. Mm-hmm. And that looks different for different people. And I also find that most real estate agents don't really start working until about 11. You know, I'm not lying. And so that morning time, again, I actually sit with my husband in the morning. We spend about an hour together. I have my little dog because he brings my blood pressure down rather significantly. He's very important to me. And then I feel like I'm ready, right? So then I get up, I get dressed. I get dressed if I'm sitting in my home all day, like I'm mm-hmm. going to a professional CEO job. I do my hair. I do all of it. There's rarely a day that I don't. You know, I'm like in the dumps if I'm not. But I treat it like it's a job. And so that morning routine and getting ready, it gets my mind right. It's non-negotiable for me.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Mine's moving my body at some point. You know, if I don't do it first thing in the morning, I think I'm going to get to it in the afternoon. And then just the day goes sideways. But if I time block it in the morning and it's just, I think better. I have better answers. I just... Yeah. All the things, and it's
she's
just
a morning person.
So I'm definitely a morning person. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. My last real talk rapid fire question is, what is the one thing that you or an agent should stop doing immediately?
Overthinking every damn thing.
She didn't know what she wanted to say on that one, did she?
I mean, I love you guys. And I see there's so many people that, man, I see so many like great mm-hmm. qualities about them. Like they're good people. They lead from the right places. They're super smart. All the things, right? Like you see the little ingredients all lining up. And then I'll also watch you talk yourself out of business, talk yourself out of opportunity, talk yourself out of all of it. And if I could just shake people and just go, who cares? Who cares? Wanted enough for you to be uncomfortable and just do it. And I hope we create an environment that makes people feel safe enough to take those chances. And so if they mess up, hey, we're here. It's fine. I mean, you and I laugh at each other a lot, which I hope is helpful to kind of demonstrate that. But that's my wish.
Aw. I don't know. I feel like I got choked up a little bit there. That was really... mine is not as good as that one. I was just, you know, waiting until you're ready.
Yeah.
Stop waiting until you're ready, because you will never...
Waiting to get ready to get started.
To get going. We all do it, right? And so if we waited to do this until we were ready to stop, you know...
Well, this is probably a poor example, because this has taken us like 2 years to get ready. So don't pay attention to this space.
She's not lying. Okay. Yeah.
All right, Mackenzie, what was your win for the week?
So I thought about this one. My win for the week is a win for somebody else. I literally was having a conversation with an agent and I saw the flip switch, because we were in a Zoom where they, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put myself out there. I feel like this is a safe place for me to fail. And it was calling somebody. They're like, well, I'm just going to text and email. Nope, we got to call them. Yeah, but they haven't replied. Nope, you got to call them. What should I do? You got to call them. You know, just talking themselves out of it. And she looked at me and she was like, I got to call them, don't I? I'm like, yep. I can't. Will you do it for me? Nope. What do I say? You'll know what to say. Yeah. Can you write a script? Nope. It'll sound like a script. Yeah. Just ask this question and get started. And she did it. And just to see you. She's like, I can, it was just this light bulb. And it just, I don't know, that just, that was a huge, huge one for me, because going back to motivation, that's intrinsic. I can't, we can want it for them and will them to want to do it so badly, but there's something has to flip it on you that you're ready to take that bet on yourself. Yeah. So that was my win today, or this week. What about you?
You know, I had this moment, I've been having a lot of these here recently, and but they're in different phases of knowing that we've put together such an amazing team, and it's not just the agents, but I'm talking like Deborah's here with us today.
Shout out to Deborah.
But Ahmad, Tara,
our admin.
Oh my God. Like, we have been like blessed with people that care, like legitimately care. Like, they see whatever craziness that we're trying to do, and I think have bought in on whatever that is. And yeah, I was sitting on a marketing call yesterday and like, I could just tell, I could just hear the passion in Tara's voice about, she really wants to get it right, you know, and she really cares. And I don't know what we've done to deserve it, but, I don't know. It just feels,
you're like, your feels today, know, right? Girl. What is the champagne? I don't know what's happening right now.
And I'm tired.
Not to discount anything that you just said, right. But I'm just like, what is happening right now?
But it is a proud moment. Like, it's, yeah, I mean, it's.
Well, I can tell you, you're incredibly easy to follow. And I agree. They want to be part of that success. And because I think we bring people with us. And so just know that that's all you've created that. It started a couple of years ago and you reached out and we had a conversation, and so just know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're still crazy, but there's moments now that I think we look up and it's like, holy shit, we're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For the record on this podcast, I don't know who's watching this and you're listening, but I'm sorry. Shocked right now that we've gotten to only the third episode and it's you who has cried and not me. I mean, thank you.
I'm tired now.
Nope. I'm just putting it out there for the universe that absolutely was going to be me. And it's only the third one. And I'm just like, I'm just having my own little moment right now. My high for next week is going to be, just
kidding. Right. I got to watch her cry.
She cried before I did. She's in her feels.
Exactly. Right.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. We're going to close this baby out. All right. So,
Pam. Tool of the week?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the tool of the week. Mm-hmm.
So, the only thing I could think of this week that was very tool driven was Carrie on our team reached out. She goes, girl, these flip books are amazing. She was going on a listing appointment. Uh-huh. She sent them the link, and like, nothing gives me more joy than to just get that quick little text of, this is amazing. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And it's so simple. It is not tacky, but agents out there, if you've got like PDFs that look janky when you send them as a PDF and people open them up and they don't know if they're scrolling or whatever, or if you're doing a Zoom call and it looks kind of weird, check it out. It's, I mean, there's a million different companies that will do them, and they really make a difference. So anyway, that's my little tech win. What about yours?
A tech win. I'm just so thankful for Notion and our in this week, really the last 2 weeks, and our internal website, I guess we call it, right? That we have. So I never heard of Notion until you showed it to me. Now everyone's like, oh, I have Notion. Oh, I know Notion. I was like, where the hell were we? That we didn't. So, but our internal website where I can say to agents very lovingly and not passive aggressively, did you check Notion?
Yeah.
Pretty sure it's on first page of Notion. Did you check under the marketing department? Did you look at the transaction? Right? That's hopefully taking place of the I got a minutes, right? Hey, do you got a minute? So, and I'm getting better at like, I think that's on Notion. And if it's not, I will do the call out. And I'm like, it's not on Notion, but that link is right there. We will add it on there. So this week, I just was very thankful for Notion to be able to find something easy and just to, and the agents, I think are, I know the agents are appreciating it and going there. So that was my tech moment for the week. Yeah.
Take it.
Absolutely. All right. So now we're going to close this thing out, right? So what is one tactical thing from either what we've talked about on this episode or kind of what we've seen? What's one tactical thing that an agent can take with them for this next week?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've mentioned it probably three times on this podcast today, but it to wrap up again, the take home for me and the difference maker, I think in my business has been to own your schedule. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie and I both are in Google. I see her calendar. She sees mine. If it is not on the calendar, it does not get done.
It doesn't exist.
Oh, exactly. Right. And I'll be honest, we're at that lovely age where it is not uncommon to just totally forget something. But yes, we are diligent about having all the appointments, but then also we've got like ideal work schedules. We've got something plugged in there too. So I know if somebody needs me, we go, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that day. Can you do this day instead? Mm-hmm. Because like we block out for interviews and all sorts of things there too. So own your business. Stop being so reactive to everything that happens and then dropping everything and then scurrying over here and taking care of this. Own your business. I mean, I don't know of a gynecologist that I can call and like jack her schedule up. Like,
of all the doctors that you could have just years ago. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know why that made me laugh.
But be a business owner, be a professional.
Mm-hmm. So along those lines, thinking about what we think would be a strong candidate for our team is to look at where your business has come from the last three transactions, source of business, and then look at your calendar and see if that's what you're working on in your calendar every day. And if you're not, what can you take out of your calendar and double down on where that business is coming from? Because that is what you should be working on. Not what I tell you to work on, not what the internet tells you, not what the next coach tells you, but where's your business coming from? There's 1,000 ways to do this and double down. And then if you want to get better at it, then go find resources or call Pam and I. Yeah,
build a skill.
Build a skill. So that would be the one tactical thing.
Love it. That's great.
Well, cheers to getting through this week, even though it's only Tuesday. We'll see what happens. Exactly. And we will see you next time for our next episode of Real Talk, Real Agents.